This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdal. However long this recovery takes, the economy we are going to have when the pandemic is done is not going to be the economy we had going in. And while predictions are always tricky, if you look at some of the trends from the before times, you can get a sense of what the after times, to coin a phrase, might be like. That's what Scott Galloway did. He teaches at the Stern School of Business at NYU, and he takes on the post-corona economy in his new book. Scott, it's good to have you on.
Thanks, Scott. Good to be with you.
So I don't know when the last time your name was paired with Jay Powell's in a question, but if never before, then it's happening now. He gave a set of remarks the other day, the Fed chair did, talking about how we were going to recover into a different economy, right, into a different future, which seems to me to be sort of the through line of this book, Post-Corona, From Crisis to Opportunity. What is your thumbnail sketch of the future into which this economy is recovering?
Well, COVID-19 is really more of an accelerant than a change agent. Take any two or three trends in any industry and take them out where they were supposed to be in 10 years and ask yourself, are we there now? In many of the cases, you say, yeah, we're already there.
One of the examples that's early on in this book, and it's a no-brainer, right, given that we're all getting Amazon and e-commerce deliveries all the time, is e-commerce penetrations. In the last, 8 weeks or something before April, it just skyrocketed, as you point out in a graph in this book.
Examples everywhere. 2000 is when e-commerce started really registering purchase, and loosely speaking, it grew 1% a year. That is, every year, another 1% of total retail went through digital channels. And sitting here in March of 2020, we were at 18%, and within 8 weeks, we went to 28%. So we had a decade of e-commerce growth. So across every industry, it's not that the trends really look much different. They've just absolutely accelerated.
So here comes the subjective question that goes with that data. Is that a good thing or a meh thing?
Yeah, I think the answer is yes. It depends on which side of the future. Look, if you're part of the cable bundle, it's a bad thing because what was once a great industry with affiliate fees is now declining faster. If you were in the cloud-based business and you were growing your business 20% a year, you're going to grow 30%. So if you're on the right side, if things were going well, then things are going really well. And if you're in an industry that was flat to declining, it seems as if your death has been moved up. So it's entirely situational.
We weren't ready for this because nobody can be ready for a pandemic. Are we adjusting mid-course? Are we making the right corrections?
Gosh, that's a tough question. I would argue for example, let's say government. Government is now spending what it was projected to spend in 2044. We've accelerated government spend by 24 years. Now, ideally, that's cyclical. That'll go back. But the question becomes, if we were trying to get out of this crisis, did the money get to the right places? And I would argue that with savings rates at all-time highs and what seems to be an obsession with keeping restaurants open despite the fact that schools are closed – if you look at the net wealth of the wealthiest 10% skyrocketing, you might argue that all we've done is we've just taken this existing trend of income inequality and turned it a dysfunctional economy into a dystopian one.
That's a little bleak, man, in a bleak time.
Well, God, we know each other well enough. I'm a glass half empty kind of guy. But look, there's a silver lining here as big as the cloud. If this is an opportunity for a younger generation to observe the importance of cooperation, the importance of funding our institutions. A crisis is a terrible thing to waste. Let's hope we don't waste it. Let's hope there's not too much structural damage from what I think will go down, at least from a government standpoint, I think we probably come in last. We had more time to prepare for this. We have the largest economy. We spend more money on healthcare, and it just hasn't there's just nothing to be proud of here, at least along that line.
Well, let me get you back to where we started on the way out, and that is Jay Powell. One of the things he always says is we are doing what we're doing at the Fed to avoid long-term damage to this economy. As we sit here in late November-ish of this pandemic year, with Congress literally not meeting on fixing this economy, do you think we avoid long-term damage?
I think there's a lot of unnecessary damage, and I think it all comes down to the crucial mistake. I think the majority of our efforts around COVID-19, the majority of the stimulus, was this notion that we need to protect companies, whereas I believe we should have been protecting people. And it's not a supply problem in our economy. It's a demand problem. And I think we would have been much better off in terms of velocity, in terms of recirculation of those stimulus dollars, had we put them in the hands of the people that needed them. You put $10,000 worth of stimulus in the hands of households that are struggling, and they spend it all. You give a small business owner $1 million in terms of a bailout. Some of it goes into the business. I would argue most of it goes into the market. If you have the market higher than it's ever been, but a third of America can't make the rent, and there's food insecurity, I would argue that this just didn't work. We need to protect people, not companies.
Scott Galloway teaches at Stern at NYU, writes a bunch of stuff, most recently a book called Post-Corona, From Crisis to Opportunity. Scott, thanks a lot. Good to talk to you as always.
Yeah, likewise. Thanks, Kai.